Recombinant Prophecy. The Bible is a library of 66 books containing a massive amount of information. When someone decides they're going to read or begin studying the Bible, the first reaction is usually one of being overwhelmed. Where does one start? How do you connect the events of Genesis to the New Testament? Why did Israel kill and drive tribes out of Canaan? What's Ezekiel talking about, and what in the world is Revelation trying to tell us? It's easy to get lost and confused. Understanding the Bible takes discipline, perseverance, and analysis to see how these parts work together. The Bible has a structure. Within that structure, we have an unfolding story that starts with two people and ends with an apostle on an island having visions. In between, there are stories that some find hard to believe. Battles won by holding someone's arms up. A global catastrophe that wipes nearly everyone out. Intrigue, betrayal, warfare, and sex are all through the narrative. And then, in the middle, a teacher appears preaching about the kingdom of heaven, for which he's hated, then murdered. God raises him from the dead, and a short time later, his disciples establish a new religion that calls everyone to be a part of it before it's too late. How do you make sense of that? Apparently, this is a task that eludes many. Biblical scholars who claim to understand the scriptures offer explanations that talk about how Moses borrowed elements of the Egyptian religion and adapted them to the Hebrews. Others claim that the plagues of Egypt were brought about by natural means. Mary was a young woman, not a virgin, when she conceived Jesus, because that can't happen, right? And the list goes on. They fail to comprehend the nature of Old Testament prophecy and place the scriptures on the same level as writings such as the Book of Enoch, the Apocrypha, and the Gnostic teachings that offer information they believe is valid but unliked by early church leaders and therefore omitted from the New Testament. This lack of comprehension sets the stage for what I call recombinant prophecy. By that, I mean there are interpretations of biblical prophecy that seek to connect unrelated passages based on the language of the prophecy. I touched on that earlier when I discussed the differences between similarity and equivalence in reading prophetic records. The commonality of language is an instrument that verifies that God is the source of the prophecy. Although passages may use similar figures and language, they may not be discussing the same subject. That goes back to a fundamental aspect of Bible study: the need to know the book. I mentioned that the Bible has a structure. We can begin by recognizing two main divisions, the Old and New Testaments. The narrative in these divisions spans three distinct time periods or dispensations and their related laws. Within the two main divisions, we can identify groups of books that cover specific types of subject matter. Drilling down into these groups, we can identify the historical setting of the books, providing detail on the overall passage of time, from general to specific, with an understanding of the time periods, law in effect, and the intended audience of the books. We can see patterns and detect limitations to how prophecies should be understood and applied. We can begin to recognize prophecy and fulfillment pairs that enhance our understanding of the Bible and underscores an appreciation for the power of God. Approaching the scriptures analytically, we'll come to understand the boundaries of prophecy and why they're there. But that's a big job, and a lot of people fall short of a good enough understanding of these characteristics of scripture, and that creates a problem. Some ideas in the Bible-believing world can be traced to a failure to understand and preserve the context of prophecy. Similarity of language and imagery is seen as equivalence. Prophecies from books such as Daniel are combined with Revelation and then explained using references to Ezekiel and other prophets because they appear to be talking about the same thing, suggesting that we critically evaluate the content of the prophecies and look for clues and evidence of their fulfillment is met with rejection because somewhat subjective and inductive conclusions have been made and taken as fact for generations. Subjective bias is an obstacle that's difficult to get someone to change once they've invested in a particular idea. Premillennialism is a good example of this. proof texts for belief in the rise of a singular world power led by a demonic ruler followed by horrific persecution and eventual warfare includes books such as Revelation, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, and others. Taking passages out of their proper context and placing them in an artificial one requires that we fabricate explanations that have no merit or basis in the Scriptures. Then, applying interpretations to current events in an attempt to verify the belief fails because the interpretation is wrong. The overall effect is identical to taking prophetic passages, dropping them in a blender, then making the world appear to match the interpretation based on the incorrectly associated Scriptures. Interpretations such as this fail because the passages used as proofs are being associated and connected based on similarity of language and not the full context. There are also differing modes of interpretation. Objectively, we can assemble the facts, review the context of the passages, and draw conclusions based on equivalent passages. Another method is to assemble passages based on similar imagery and language, then try to interpret them in a way that fits the perspective that they have to be talking about the same thing. This ignores the context, creates conflicts, and brings the interpreter to continually modify their conclusions when it's apparent that things aren't adding up. Within the context of prophetic statements, we'll have enough information to also identify the scope of a prophecy in terms of time. To understand prophetic statements, we need to apply all of the above elements in order to understand them. So, to determine the extent and fulfillment of a specific prophecy, we'll need to understand the full context, which will include the subject under consideration, the audience being addressed, the time period during which the writing was done, the law in effect at the time, the purpose of the prophecy, details in the prophetic statement, and conditions identifying fulfillment. I have a detailed analysis of the Old Testament prophets in another lesson that goes into greater detail about the context of each of these writings. That's a lengthy discussion that we don't have room for here, but it's available for review. Based on that research and the actual content of the books, we can conclude that the Old Testament prophets spoke of a time period and events that end with the establishment of the church. The final prophecy that stands out and is confirmed by Christ is that of Daniel and his statement of the abomination of desolation that's connected to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The canonical books of prophecy, therefore, have a hard limit in regard to subject matter, the audience addressed, and the criteria for fulfillment of the prophecies they made. Concerning the work of the Old Testament prophets, Peter makes an interesting statement about what they understood in regard to the writing they were part of. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into in 1 Peter 1:10 through 12. The biblical narrative from Genesis 3 onward is focused on the coming of Christ and the fulfillment of God's promise to save humanity. The events recorded concerning the lives of the patriarchs, the nation of Israel, and the prophets are all given to educate us about how God has worked and the extent of His power. Paul states, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope," in Romans 15:4. Based on that, as we study the Scriptures, we can see how they connect and the purpose that the prophetic books serve. The book of Enoch appears as an imaginative tale but lacks a connection to the narrative we find in the Old Testament. We see struggles between supernatural beings who transform themselves into something compatible with humans, siring offspring, divulging secrets, and sharing power with Enoch and other humans. Overall, the text reads as an esoteric script filled with magic and mysticism rather than a revelation from God. That fits the pattern of other writings that, for one reason or another, were created to fill in supposed gaps in the knowledge of what has been revealed or to promote an individual opinion and perspective. The bottom line is that when scrutinized, it doesn't match or fit the biblical narrative, nor does it enhance our understanding of God. When the context of biblical prophecy is violated, it opens the door to chaos in how and what a prophecy means. Prophetic statements in the Scriptures are targeted to specific outcomes, and once that outcome has been fulfilled, they can't be recycled and applied to another situation.